From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM later on tonight, improving your clairvoyance in the art of mediumship. Here's what's happening. President Barack Obama casting his decision to send 250 more troops to Syria as a bid to keep up momentum in the campaign to dislodge Islamic State extremists. He pressed European allies to match the U.S. in contributions of their own. The president's announcement of the American troops, which capped a six-day tour of the Middle East and Europe, reflected a steady deepening of U.S. military engagement, despite the president's professed reluctance to dive further into another Middle East conflict. Jerry Corsi, who writes for WorldNet Daily and noted author, I think this is the beginning of something big, Jerry. What do you think?
Well, George, it's very confusing because the Obama administration has been consistently opposed to increasing the ground war in the Middle East. And, you know, while I've got enormous respect for the United States military, I mean, 250 troops doesn't seem like it's going to be enough of an effort to make a huge difference. And I think it's very difficult to discern what the tactical plan here is with this gradual ramp up. You know, 250 troops here, 250 troops here, and 250 there. Pretty soon you've got a lot of troops in Syria, and we were supposed to not be committing ground forces to the Middle East.
And what's, you know, our effort has been to try to dislodge Assad. So what are these troops in there for? To help him or what?
Well, that was also very confusing in the announcement from Hanover, Germany, because, it, you know, President Obama again said he wanted to destroy ISIS, but how these 250 troops are going to be involved, what they're going to do is still up in the air. And, you know, the troops, the discussions that have been going on, the peace talks in Geneva, the Syria peace talks, have faltered, and it really appears that with a renewed Assad offensive to take Aleppo, that Assad is determined to gain a military victory in Syria with the help of Russia, not a negotiated peace. And with President Obama committing more troops today into Syria, it seems like President Obama is in agreement that the negotiations are not going to be successful. We're not going to have a prolonged ceasefire, but this looks like a preparation for renewed fighting in Syria. And it's a very kind of frightening and disturbing note.
Sure is. Jerry, thank you so much. If you have bought tea at CVS Pharmacy, take heed. Organic tea sold nationwide by CVS has been recalled over fear it might contain salmonella, an organism of particularly high risk to the elderly. The recalled product is labeled Gold Emblem Abound Organic Spiced Herbal Tea. How about that for one breath? And has a sell-by date of March 18, 2018. 24 people have been killed after eating poison sweets in Pakistan mixed with pesticides. How they got in the food, nobody knows yet. The more children are spanked, the more likely they are to defy their parents and to experience increased antisocial behavior, aggression, mental health problems, and cognitive difficulties, according to a new analysis of 50 years of research on spanking. So parents, just take heed. It will likely be several more days before more information is released regarding the sudden death of Prince. Prince died on April 21st after he was found unresponsive in the elevator of his Minnesota home. An autopsy was conducted Friday. Then some of Prince's most beloved family, friends, and musicians celebrated his life in a very small private service on Saturday after his remains have been cremated. But we await the autopsy. Nobody really knows what's going to happen yet. But Paul Gercio from the Merlin Project and George Hart did a time track on the life of Prince. We've got that up on our Twitter feed if you want to see it, but Paul will tell us what it was all about. What does it read, Paul?
Well, what's interesting about it, George, is that Percy Sledge also died that same weekend, same couple of days. And it's always been a curiosity of mine. When people famous die, I look them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found that there was quite a difference between Percy Sledge's run, which is from November of 1940, and Prince's, which comes from June 1958. The end is very different. Percy Sledge has a blue spike at the early portion of the year, and then a long blue thin line extending through most of the year. And that usually indicates some kind of death that's been the result of some medical problem that the person's had for a period of a long time that has been getting treated, and they just finally ran out of ways to treat it. And Prince's is an abrupt yellow spike. Now, that's usually the indication of something fairly sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd say that, well, it's a musician. He's in that era. He's probably a drug addict. I did a little checking and found out that Prince was a vegan, very careful about what he ate and so on. But his family had a history of joint problems in the knees and the hips.
Yes.
Now, this is a guy who did a lot of dancing and apparently was in pain through most of that. He probably was addicted in some way to painkillers.
Over-medicated.
And maybe over-medicated. Yeah.
Paul, we've got the time track at our Twitter feed. I've looked at it, and it does look like he still continues to move on, which tells me, as we reported earlier today, that his records over the weekend have been selling like crazy.
Now, that's what I hear. Something like 2,200 or 22,000 percentage of sales is unheard of amount of records being sold.
So that by looking at the time track, I think that's going to continue.
Well, that's one of the things about dead people. You look at the people say, well, how can the time track go on that they're dead? Well, that's not a time track of them, actually. It's a time track of them and anything else that started at that moment that they did. And if they're famous and they're a musician, that's going to continue on. I bet Elvis is outselling now his records when he was alive.
If you're looking for apps, the Time Track app is there in your store. Paul, thank you so much. The 2016 presidential election is on the top of most Americans' minds, according to the latest George Washington University Battleground poll. Despite or perhaps because of it, the high level of engagement, voters have negative views of almost every candidate and report the tone of the race is wearing on them. Is it wearing on Howard Bloom, though? What do you think, Howard?
Not at all. This is, it's hold your breath time. It's edge of the cliff time. Five states are up for grabs tomorrow. That's Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Maryland, Delaware, and Rhode Island. That's a whopping 462 Democratic delegates are up for grabs tomorrow, and a gobstopping 172 Republican delegates. And here's where the heartbreak comes in. This could be the end for Bernie Sanders, who is the voice of the people in the Democratic Party. And it's just the opposite. It could be the new beginning for Donald Trump, who's the voice of the people in the Republican Party. So you wonder, why is the populace in the Democratic Party on the verge of losing it, while the populace in the Republican Party is about to wipe his competitors off the face of the map? And this is what makes this election so amazingly engaging. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, it seems, are in opposite situations, according to polls by Rasmussen, which is a Republican-oriented polling operation. The Republicans are fed up with their party's elite. According to Rasmussen, only 27% of Republicans think their party leaders reflect their views. That's a measly one-quarter of Republican voters think that their leaders reflect their views, and nearly twice that percentage in the Democratic Party think their leadership speaks for them, 44%, that's nearly half. So the result is that Republican voters are jumping ship and swimming to the Trump yacht. And the billionaire backers, this is where it really gets weird, the billionaire backers of the conservative ideology are jumping the Republican ship as well, but they are not swimming toward Donald Trump. They are swimming away from him. Over the weekend, Charles Koch gave an interview on ABC TV. Now, this is a guy who's worth $44.3 billion. He's an oil man, and he bundled close to $1 billion from the super rich at the beginning of this campaign season because he was going to buy this year's Republican presidential candidate, and with it, he was going to purchase the White House. Well, he says that Hillary Clinton, this is hard to believe, he says that Hillary Clinton would make a better president than Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. That is an astonishing statement from a man who's been trying to destroy the Democratic Party for decades. And Charles Koch says that Bill Clinton did a better job of shrinking the government than George W. Bush, which is mind-boggling. It shows what Koch's priority is, shrinking the government, but it also shows something important about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has brought precisely the opposite view to the surface, that government has been shrunk too much. And that as a result, we are heaping the biggest debt in history on our kids. And that massive deficit is not the deficit that we've been pointed to for over 30 years. It's not the government budget deficits. That's a red herring. The real debt is the one that Sanders has been singling out. It's over $1 trillion in college debt. It's $3 trillion or more in deferred infrastructure repair, infrastructure deterioration. It's as much as $2 trillion in personal medical debt, the biggest source of debt in this country. And Sanders has proposed programs to lift those burdens. But the real deal is this. Sanders' greatest gift to this whole thing, and Trump's greatest gift, is simplicity and clarity. Sanders says spend $1 trillion on infrastructure repair and create 1 million jobs, make college free the way the primary school and high school are free. Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz can't seem to make anything clear and simple. We have no idea where they really stand on most of the issues. So Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are giving us a shot of something that may be new in political rhetoric, and we badly need it. It's political talk that is clear and simple.
And we've got months to go, Howard, and we shall see how it all unfolds. The National Institutes of Health has invested more than $80,000 into studying whether mice stutter. I kid you not. It's part of a $16 million program to lead to why humans stutter. But they needed to find out the mice portion, so they spent $80,000 on that. In a moment, we're going to be talking with Earl Mandel. I'm going to tell you a funny story about Earl Mandel when we come back, because his book, The Vitamin Bible, in 1991, is the main reason I went into all this alternative medicine. It's amazing. Back in a moment with Dr. Earl Mandel on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Back in 1991, a book came out called Earl Mandel's Vitamin Bible. I ran out and bought it. It was amazing. I studied it. I did the things in the book that the Dr. Mandel recommended. Then in 1997, when I was the Nighthawk in St. Louis, I had him on my program. It was a long time ago. I haven't talked to him since. Dr. Mandel is a registered pharmacist, master herbalist, nutritionist. He's an award-winning author of at least 59 health-related books. That's going up all the time. He was inducted into the California Pharmacist Hall of Fame in 2007, was awarded the resident citation for exemplary service from Bastyrn University in 2012. And presently, he's on the board of the California College of Natural Medicine. Here he is, Dr. Earl Mandel. Earl, welcome.
Well, thank you, George. It's a pleasure to be back on the show. And I remember that from, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, back in St. Louis. I mean, I when I saw your book and I picked it up and I was doing research for my Nighthawk show in St. Louis,
right,
and I was looking for guests and I went, this is the greatest vitamin book I've ever read.
Well, thank you. Actually, their courses, I've updated it five times. There's a new one now called the New Vitamin Bible.
That's right.
It sold over 11 million copies in 34 languages.
That is amazing.
So very exciting. And I tell you what, after listening to your news, 15 minutes of what I call the parade of horribles, that it's not your fault. I mean, is there ever a time we need the happiness effect? And that just happens to be the name of my new book.
Well, let me tell you something. The happiness effect is important. And you talk about negative ions,
right,
which are, of course, these little invisible particles or molecules or atoms. But tell me about this. How did you get into that?
Okay, well, first of all, my wife and I watch a program called The Shark Tank. It's on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these entrepreneurs coming to a group of multimillionaires, billionaires, and asking for money for their business. Well, there was a couple of years ago, a young guy came on, and he had a bracelet that he said that produces negative ions. And Mark Cuban, who's one of the richest one on the whole panel, just eviscerated the guy. I mean, he said, where's the science? I mean, this is nonsense. And it really got me because I remember back in the 80s that there was a lot of information about these negative ions, and somehow it kind of dropped out. So I did research, and I found out that a man by the name of Nikola Tesla, now this is not the car, because I get this all the time, the car was named after him. He was an incredible inventor, and he invented the so-called Tesla coil, or alternating current. And that's another great story, too, because he was kind of involved with Edison, who wanted the direct current. And, of course, Tesla fought him, and, of course, Tesla was correct. But he was not a very good businessman, George. He was a terrible businessman.
Right. He got taken a lot, too, world.
Well, absolutely. And he also was an interesting character. He was a germophobic. He wouldn't shake hands. And there was a story that he went into a restaurant. He was invited to have lunch at a restaurant. He ordered 12 napkins, and he wiped all the silverware and the dishes and everything. And he had an aversion for women's pearls. He couldn't stand women to wear pearls, and women's hair. And the guy was unbelievable. But he found that when the electricity produced these negative ions and people had a feeling of well-being, it actually helped. Of course, back another 20, he died in 1943. Another scientist from New York State actually picked up what he learned and really went into a much greater extent. He found, this scientist, Dr. Hansel, found that negative ions actually not only give people a feeling of well-being and more energy, but they also help against allergies because they bind the pollutants in the pollen in the air. In fact, I talk about it in the book. It's really exciting. I ask people, why do you like to take a shower? How do you feel when you take a shower? How do you feel?
I feel great, refreshed.
Exactly. But not only refreshed, it is, you see, that's where the negative ions are produced. The running water causes the electrons to basically be produced and grab onto as negative ions. So waterfalls, waves, that's why people like to go to the ocean, lightning, etc. Fresh air, you know how your mother, I mean, I was brought up with my mother and grandmother, they always said, fresh air, fresh air. Now we realize that fresh air is much higher in negative ions than the so-called positive ions. And unfortunately, George, we are living in a society where we basically are being bombarded by these positive ions, television transformers, cell phones, air conditioners, just living in an artificial environment with air conditioning. Most people, that's what they do. They go from their home, which is usually an artificial environment, to an office. Most offices today, you can't even open up the windows anymore. I mean, everything is sealed. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they use insulation that prevents the negative ions from getting in. So my feeling is that we should try to increase the amount of negative ions in our life. And the way to do that, not everybody can be next to a waterfall. In fact, if you go to Niagara Falls, it produces 100,000 per square centimeters of negative ions. But if you live in a basically a home or you go to an office, you can get anywhere from 0 to 100. So we're not getting enough negative ions. I wear a bracelet because we found that the Japanese are very big in this, by the way, producing a bracelet that contains a couple of these rare earths, tourmaline, amethyst, and germanium. Now, they, when they...
And it touches your skin,
touches
right?
Touches your skin, right, and that produces the negative ions. So, Tesla, I mean, we're talking about 1890s. In fact, in 1900, Tesla wrote a pretty big article in a magazine at the time that was probably the most well-known scientific magazine, talking about these negative ions, and he was very high on it, but he never followed through. He tried to, he'd get on a project, and, you know, if he got bored once it was over, he would just continue on. But we can do a lot to basically have, I feel, be happy. And let's be realistic, George. It's not easy to be happy today.
No.
We've got wars all the time. We've got ISIS. We've got this. We've got that. The political campaign, everybody hates everybody else until it's all over. They're all buddies.
Earl, hang on. We're going to come right back with you. We're going to talk a little bit more about your latest work, The Happiness Effect. And also, let's get into the new Vitamin Bible, the update from that great book from 1991. And we're going to take your phone calls next hour with Dr. Earl Mindell. Earl, I know I asked you this 20 years ago, but I'll do it again. How did you get started in all this?
Well, it goes back almost 50 years ago. Another pharmacist and I started a long-houred pharmacy. It was open from 9 in the morning until midnight, 7 days a week. And then we took night calls from midnight to 9. Of course, I was a lot younger, actually. On a typical weekend, he'd take off, and I'd work my 15 hours a day and then get 2 or 3 calls at night. And I was in terrible shape. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So I said to him, I said, you know, you seem to be able to overcome the stress of what we are doing better than I. What's your secret? So I take vitamins. Now, if you remember, it's a long time ago. I remember my mother would always give my father and I a vitamin that she kept in the refrigerator. And by the way, that's the worst place to keep vitamins. And take the cotton out, because that's a magnet for moisture.
That's right. It is.
Anyway, I started taking B complex. I started taking C, vitamin E, minerals. I felt so much better. It was unbelievable. We actually gave starter samples to people coming in the pharmacy, and they saw a difference. So I said, you know, this is something that I really want to look into. Maybe instead of just worrying about sickness, how about promoting health? And you see, that's how it all started, George. And by the way, I want to just tell you that these positive ions can cause emotional distress, they can cause fatigue, and they can even interfere with the function of your immune system, while the negative ions do exactly opposite. They help brighten your mood and better cognitive performance, athletic performance. Actually, we've found that it has heart healthy and it seems to help with sleep and weight loss. And Japan is so far ahead of us. You'll love this, George. In 2012, okay, a company called Toyota. You've heard of them, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, their best-selling car, the Camry, actually started to be equipped with an ion technology, which will serve to enhance the car's air conditioning system and fill the cabin with a balance of positive and negative ions. And it's interesting that the Toyota Camry is the biggest selling car in America.
It may be subconscious.
Is that a coincidence? No, it's not. It really makes a difference. The Russians actually use negative ion generators in their submarines. Now think about it. You've got a group of men that are, very close quarters for maybe months, maybe a year, who knows. They have to be a special type of emotional disposition. But if they can feel the mood is better and they're more energetic, it can only help.
If you bombard somebody, Earl, with negative ions, will they be happier, for example?
Absolutely. They're going to see that their mood is much better. That's what Tesla knew, and that's what Hansel knew, and that's what the Japanese and the Russians. And we, in this country, are bombarding our people with Paxil, Prozac, and Pristique, and all the other drugs. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that we ignore these simple things that have no side effects, that are very inexpensive. And the majority of people, I'll bet you in your audience, if one person out of 1,000 has ever heard of negative ions, I'd be amazed.
I bet a lot of people have not. You're right.
It's too bad.
They will tonight.
It's the same thing with vitamins. I mean, we are still ignorant about taking supplements.
Let's talk a little bit about supplements, and you're updated the new vitamin Bible as well. When you wrote the first one back in 91.
No, actually, it came out in 1980, the first one.
The first one did. Okay.
Yeah,
the one I bought was in 91.
Right. That was a newer update, and of course, I've updated it six times. So it's now called the new vitamin Bible, and things have changed dramatically.
I was going to ask you.
All right. Yeah, you have no idea. I mean, I used to go, you know, I did a major tour when the book came out, and it was 25 cities. And people look at me and they say, what are you, some kind of a crazy California cuckoo, you know, nuts and seeds and the whole thing. I used to have to carry my own water. Think about it. It was, you know, people say, you don't drink the water from the tap? I said, no, I use bottled water. So things have changed dramatically, but actually for the better, because now you go into a grocery store and you see organic products, you see gluten-free. I mean, people are becoming more aware of what they're putting in their body. But let's be realistic. The majority, and I'll tell you what I love people to do. Go into one of these big supermarkets. I don't care, whatever one you want. Stand by the checkout and see what people are putting into their basket. You know, you got to go through that blink or whatever it's called. It's all processed food. I mean, most of those cereals that people buy, I recommend eating the box. It's higher
more
in
so
fiber
than the cereal. Yeah.
I mean, I call it the Twinkie Ding Dong Donut Pizza Prozac Pepsi Paxil Prozac Diet. Because if you eat the standard American diet or SAD, more like pathetic, that's what you're going to be on. You're going to be on all these different drugs, etc. It's unbelievable that we don't realize that the most important thing we do every day, water, of course, is the most important nutrient, clean water, but the food and the nutrients, and we're just not getting enough nutrients in our diet. Example, vitamin D. D is in dog. Now, I've been talking about vitamin D for, you know, 40-odd years. We knew way back when. I was brought up in Canada, you know, cold climate, and in the winter, we were given fish liver oil. I don't know if you've ever taken.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well,
oh, you mean in its natural form?
Believe me,
yuck.
It's natural form. I used to run to school faster. It was so horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, they knew that fish liver oil was a source of vitamin A and D. And, of course, vitamin D was also called a sunshine vitamin because when it's sunny, the cholesterol in the skin produces vitamin D. Well, today, unfortunately, we are getting so little, most people are not getting enough vitamin D in their diet, but you see, the amount is so much more than it used to be. We used to talk about 800 IUs, maybe 1,000. I take 5,000 units of natural vitamin D, that's vitamin D3. Very important when you buy your vitamins to get the natural form, because we know that vitamin D has unbelievable benefits. It's actually, if it came out today, George, it would be called a hormone. It's not really a vitamin. So it has amazing, we think even anti-cancer. It has the ability to absorb calcium. So it's really important to get the right nutrients in the right amount, and that's what the Vitamin Bible is all about. And, of course, over the years, things like coenzyme Q10, that was almost unknown back in the 90s. And we know that people who are taking these statin drugs, you know, the Lipitor, the Mevacor, they're all generics now.
Crestor, all that
stuff. Right. They're all called statin drugs. Well, these statin drugs, unfortunately, they might lower cholesterol, but they also can cause problems with your muscles. And the heart is a muscle. You want that heart to be as strong as possible. So what I recommend is that if you are taking a statin drug, that you take a coenzyme Q10 along with it. And the same thing with antibiotics. You know, anti means against, bios means life. Antibiotics kill the good organisms as well as the bad guys.
That's right.
That's why we have problems with diarrhea and all the other problems. So if you're having a bout of with antibiotics, take a probiotic.
I am a huge booster now of taking turmeric.
Well, that was the next one. That's the next thing I was going to talk about. Turmeric, or the active ingredient, is called curcumin.
Right.
Okay? And if you go to the Indian diet, That's what they eat. They've been eating it for centuries. It's a kind of a yellow spice they use. It's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It has so many antioxidants. And there's a word that people hear all the time. I want to make sure people understand what it means. Antioxidant means against oxidation. Now, we need oxygen to live. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But too much oxygen causes the cells to basically rust. An example of what I'm talking about, let's take an apple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Slice that apple in half and take half the apple and put it on a countertop. What happens to that apple after a period of time?
It's dark and icky.
Right. It oxidizes, it rusts.
I've always wondered, Earl, that when they operate on someone with cancer,
mm-hmm.
once they open the person up mm-hmm. and all that oxygen hits them, they seem to die faster. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just my perception.
Well, all I can tell you is if oxidation speeds up the aging process. Okay, so we know that half the apple is turned brown. Now, the other half of the apple, before it turned brown, if you squeeze some lemon juice on the surface of that apple, cut apple, which is a source of vitamin C, you'll find that the apple does not turn brown because vitamin C is an antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what turmeric curcumin is as well. But here's something that's even more fascinating. One of the very potent antioxidants called superoxide dismutase, SOD, is actually a negative ion.
Aha. Now, what happens if you're pelted with too much positive?
Well, actually, the body is a wonderful, wonderful machine. It knows the right balance, but we are being pelted with, unfortunately, the positive ions. Not too many people are going to stand next to Niagara Falls. There's a place that I go to that has a waterfall right near the ocean, and I just sit there, I just stand there and breathe in. I mean, I can feel the difference. Take a walk in a forest or a meadow or fresh air or by the ocean, you feel better. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's such a simple thing to do, and we're getting so far away from natural things, George, including natural vitamins. I mean, I get people tell me, well, I take the stuff that's on television. It's all synthetic. There's nothing real. I mean, it's artificial color, preservatives, flavor. Look for a natural type of supplement. It should say that on the label. Otherwise, you don't know for sure.
Now, what about, you were talking about vitamin D3.
Yes.
And the importance of how sunshine, you know, generates it through the cholesterol.
Right.
What is this talk of, you know, too much sun, not enough sun?
Okay, well, there it is, George. You just hit it right on the head. People are so frightened of being out in the sun that when they do go out, they slather themselves at the beach with this SPF 20, 30, whatever it is. So very little vitamin D is absorbed. This is going to sound wild, but I take a sun bath every day.
Every day.
I go out. Fortunately, I live in Southern California. So
You have the sun most of the time.
Most of the time. So I go out for a few minutes and I get a sun. Of course, I'm also a golfer, so that's a good way of getting some. We shouldn't be afraid of the sun. Now, too much, of course, is not good either. If you're very fair skinned, that's a different story. But in general, we need that sunshine to produce vitamin D. And also, as I say, I take a supplement of vitamin D every day.
And everything else, I'm sure, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the basic, you know, you take a good multiple vitamin because that covers most of the bases. That has a B complex and a C and the natural E. And even the vitamin E now, things have really changed also. There's a form of vitamin E called tocotrienols. It's the gamma tocotrienol and the alpha and the gamma tocopherol, which is vitamin E. Are very important. So I tell people, get a combination, if you're going to buy a supplement, that has the tocotrienols and the tocopherols. I know these are new words for people, but that's why I want really to communicate all this knowledge to people in a very easy to understand thing. I think the Vitamin Bible, it really does that.
You do not like the salt, sugar, and white flour, do you?
The three killers. White salt, white flour, and white sugar.
Yeah.
Boy, are we doing a job of eating sugar. Now, the problem is, George, there's 32 ways that you can call sugar, sugar, in this country and get away with it. But look for O-S-E, O-S, at the end of the word. Highly refined fructose. Sucrose, of course, is common table sugar. We're getting, I know people won't believe this, we're getting about 154 pounds of sugar per person per year. Most of it in the soft drinks. And one good news is just a couple of, last week or so, the soft drink business is dropping.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, it's good, but people are going to the so-called these vitamin waters and all that. And if you look on the label, it's got sugar in it anyway.
It's sugar in it, sure.
So
sugar
it's like
water.
They're passing it from one to another. Read labels. Become a label reader. And I tell people, if you don't understand what the word is or you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
I lay off MSG all the time now.
Absolutely. I mean, monosodium glutamate, and, you know, it doesn't have to say monosodium glutamate. It might say some kind of protein or natural flavor, so they can get away with it. But you're right. There's people that get headaches from MSG and the whole thing. But if you see MSG on the label, just put it back. And, by the way, this will save you 25% of your grocery bill. If you spend the time to read labels,
no, you're right.
You're going to put back a lot of stuff that you would never have thought of twice.
And it's healthier. You'll feel better.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, let's be realistic. I think we've got this. This is also going to surprise people. We've got to take the, I feel, the authority, the ability to keep us healthy in our own hands. We have to take responsibility of health in our own hands. Yeah, if you're sick, there's no doubt about it. We have places, we have hospitals, we have emergency rooms, we have a clinic, whatever. But what do we do to be well and to stay well? And we're not taught that. We're only taught about sickness.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How many pain relievers should I take? Should I take this one where it's two a day or five a day? Or and hey, I don't have to tell you that this pain reliever, especially the narcotic things, are causing a lot of deaths. And one just recently, and I'll go out on a limb and I'll say that
Prince.
I heard from pretty reliable sources that he was on a couple of opium.
Mm-hmm. Percocet, I think.
Yeah, well, there's one called Dilaudid and Fentanyl, which is probably 10 times stronger than Vicodin. So, I mean, it's too bad, but what happens is people get addicted to these things, and, you know, the heart could only take so much. But the majority of people who are addicted to drugs, they're not these opioids, or they are regular prescription drugs, and it's not that hard to do.
You just take too much, I guess, right?
Well, even for a long period of time.
It'll do it.
The so-called diazepans, the diazepam, the Valium, the old days, the Valiums, people, there's newer versions of all these drugs, but you know, people get in the habit, and it's hard to, especially if you add another drug to it called alcohol.
Earl, hold on. I want to talk with you more about that when we come back. In our final hour, we'll take phone calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM.